Thank you so much. It is great to have you with us today. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. I heard it back. That's great. Let's try it again. Merry Christmas. There's a lot of you. That's great. Well, it is so good to have you. My name is Tim. If I haven't had the chance to meet you, it is a joy to have you with us today. And thank you for choosing to come to Center Point. I know there are a lot of places you could be today, a lot of things you could choose to do, but you've chosen to come here, and we're really, really thankful that you did. Hopefully, you received a great welcome on the way in, and we love having you. And if you're one of our regular family, Center Point family, it is so good to celebrate with you. Now, obviously, Christmas is about the birthday of Jesus, but, you know, apart from that, it's a lot about family, isn't it? It's a lot about being together, and I know it's been a joy for Susan and I to have a couple of our kids back and spend this week with them. I know you're getting to do some of those things, too, but I love being with you, and so being here and looking around and seeing you and seeing our West family and people that we know and love from there, it's just great to have y'all here. It just makes Christmas something special. I want to give you an announcement. You know, this is the time to celebrate, and I know a lot of you have been praying for many years, and this week we signed a lease on the building that we're going to be moving into. So, yeah, great news. I know it went back and forth. We haven't given you many reports, and we didn't know for sure, but this week we were able to knock that out. Real thankful to our facility team, the leadership team, and a variety of people that helped us to do that. So over the next little while, we'll be telling you how that's going to unfold and how you can help as we paint walls and do things. But right now, we just need to get through this week, right? And then we'll figure that out as we move into the new year and kind of be able to decide what we're going to do. Would you go with me to prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day and what it represents. First of all, Sunday that represents the resurrected Christ, but this time of year that tells us about your coming to earth and being born and living a perfect life and dying on a cross for us. God, we are grateful and we celebrate that today. Thank you for what you've done for us in regards to a building, and we pray for your direction and blessing on the plans of that, that you would give us wisdom and how to handle that and live that through. God, also just this month we've been asking you as a special request and begging you to bring revival to each of us. And so, God, I ask today that you bring revival to my life, that you'd help me to love you and honor you and to put you first in the things that I do. And I pray that you'd help me to experience revival in me. And I pray that for every brother and sister that is a part of our church, that you would do that as well. God, I know that all over the city, this is a big day, and a lot of churches are doing a lot of services, and I pray your anointing on every one of them that are preaching the gospel of Jesus, that many people would come to know you. And I pray that here, because undoubtedly, Lord, you know, but there's probably folks in this room that have never come into a relationship with you, God, through Jesus. So I pray that today everything would make sense, that the dots would get connected, that the lights would come on, that they would realize their need of that, and they would trust you. And I pray for the rest of us who know you and love you that today we'd be encouraged in our faith as we live this day for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, if you brought a Bible with you today or you have it on your phone, we're going to be in Luke chapter 2. That's the Christmas story, right? We're going to end up there. I'm also going to put it on the screens today for you, if not, but love for you to be able to turn and look at that. This Christmas, we've been spending some time talking about the Advent. Now, some of you grew up in a church that you practiced Advent all growing up. And, I didn't grow up in a church that did, so it's kind of new. We've done it a couple of times in church. But as you know, Advent is just looking forward to the return of Christ. It was a look to, the word Advent means the return of Christ, kind of look to the first time he came and remembering how God sent his son Jesus at Christmas to come to earth, a baby in a manger to save us, but also how Jesus is coming back. And one of the ways we celebrate it is through the candles of Advent. And we've been walking our way through each of these, and I want to just remind you about some of them. The first candle that we lit and talked about was the candle of hope. And you'll remember it was a couple of weeks back, but we talked about hope. And you know, hope is this, it's anticipation. Listen, every kid in here, and by the way, welcome boys and girls. It's so good to have you here today. I forgot to say that. Thank you. It's good to have you with us. Thanks for being here. Every boy and girl, we all remember when we were there. We know what anticipation is this time of year, right? We're shaking presents and looking under the tree. We can't wait. Well, that's what hope is. It's that anticipation of something. And Jesus brings us hope. Listen, without Jesus, there really isn't any hope. But in him, we know that he's going to come back for us. He brings us the hope that we find in him and him alone. And for thousands of years, mankind lived without that hope, without any real hope. But Jesus brought that hope. Well, last week we talked about the idea of joy. We lit the candle of joy and we discussed how that joy and happiness are different. How happiness, they look a lot alike, but happiness is based on our circumstances. And so when things go well, we're happy. But joy is not based on circumstances. It's what we have inside our lives that even in the hard times. We talked about this last week that many of us this time of year are going to, you know, going through some tough times. But joy is found in Jesus. And only Jesus can bring us joy and be the joy that comes in our lives. Well, today we're talking about this candle. It's the candle of peace. And I want us today to kind of unfold this and talk just a little bit about what peace means. And by the way, as we're thinking about peace, let me just ask you, how's your week been? What's your week been like? Has it been a peaceful week? Most of us would have to go, no, but it hasn't been. Anybody do any last minute shopping? Yeah? I don't know why we do this, but our family tradition is to go to the mall on Christmas Eve. I know, that's silly. Some of you are like, you are insane. That's what you are. But we like going on Christmas Eve. And since we knew that today was going to be full, we went yesterday. And so we were, you know, out there and looking at last minute things. Some of you did that. And you know, you kind of are elbowing your way through and trying to get that spot. You know, you're trying to be gracious because it's Christmas. Well, you tray up the gas so you can get there and beat the guy out before he gets you, you know, with peace, right? Anybody have any Christmas parties? Anybody partied out? I mean, they're a lot of fun, the first one, the second one, the third one, you know. After a little while, you're like, man, I don't think I can do anything else, right? How about this? Did anybody enjoy cooking, baking, and wrapping presents and this time of year? Well, we do this at our house. It's kind of a tradition to make candy. A few years ago, I shared the story with you on Christmas Eve. Some of you followed it yet further on social media, how Sarah and I are trying to make this hard candy. I grew up in West Virginia, and we call it hard tack. I don't know what you call it anywhere else. Anybody else heard that term before? Okay, a few of my West Virginia friends. But I don't know what else you call it. It's just kind of hard candy, and you put all this, mostly sugar, in this pan, and you kind of boil it, and then you do it. And three times 2 years ago, Sarah and I boiled it over onto the stove. And then you had to clean it off, and believe me, the stove was never the same. I had to get a new one, right? I mean, it was bad. And so finally, on the fourth take, we did it, and we actually made it. People were like, why did you even try? Well, we got it out to make it this year. By the way, it worked on one take, all right? We did it one time, and we got out to make it, and Sarah realized on this card that it says you can make taffy. Now, my favorite candy in the whole wide world is saltwater taffy. That's why you go to Gatlinburg. That's why you go to the beach, right? So you can get saltwater taffy. I love it. And so we decided we were going to make it. We got all this stuff out. We boiled it up. We put it in there, and we poured it out, and we started to make it. Well, I got to tell you, we didn't make it. It doesn't taste anything like taffy at all. It's hard like the other hard candy, right? And we started pulling it. I know now why they have those big machines in Gatlinburg, because I have four blisters on my hands from pulling this taffy last night. I went to bed with Band-Aids on my hands from pulling this taffy that we do. I am never doing that again, but I cannot say that was a time of peace, right? So let me just ask you, would you say your week has been peaceful? Jesus came so that we can have peace. What is peace? Well, peace is that calm feeling of knowing that everything will be okay, right? It's that, right? If you've been around our church for a while, you've heard me describe it before, but it's that feeling when you were a kid and you were little and all the other kids were a little bit bigger and you wanted to go out and play with them, and so you did, and you went out and you played, and you ran with them, and you know, they were rough and bigger than you, and finally you got hurt. Maybe you skinned your knee, maybe you hurt your arm, and they said, are you okay? And you're like, yeah, I'm okay, right? But you weren't, and you hobbled home, and all the way, the further you got to home, the worse it got, and you'd held it all in, and no one saw you cry, and finally, I grew up with a house with a porch, and you come up, and your mom opens the door, and when you see her, you can't get your breath, you're crying so hard, remember this? And she takes you and puts you on a rocking chair, and she holds you, and as you're sobbing and trying to get your breath, you fall asleep. That's exactly what peace is. It's that feeling of knowing everything will be okay. And you know what? It's one of the most sought-after commodities in the world. Fact is, if you went anywhere in the world today and you surveyed people and you said, name the top five things that are important to you, somewhere in there would be peace. You know, It's what we look for and long for. So I want us to talk about that today. If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 2 is the Christmas story. Let me read it to you and spend just a few minutes with you today in it. It says, "Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. And this was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each one to his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him. And she was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same regions, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping over the watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with that angel a whole multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, peace, peace among men with whom he is pleased.' When the angels had gone away from them to heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and let us see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they came in a hurry. They found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he was laying in a manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statements which had been told them about the Christ. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, peace among men." But peace to who? Peace to Mary? I mean, this 15-year-old or so girl who is scared out of her mind because she's pregnant and doesn't know what to do? Or peace to Joseph, her fiance, who's struggling how he's going to figure this whole thing out? Or peace to those shepherds we read about. They were minding their own business out in the fields at night, and all of a sudden, terrifying angels filled the sky. Or peace to Mary and Joseph's parents, who were wondering what they were going to tell everyone else. Who was this peace for, right? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 tells us, "For he," and the he is Jesus, "he himself is our peace." You see, Jesus came so we could have peace, be at peace. The fact is, the Bible describes Jesus as the Prince of Peace. And he's come so we could do this. But what does this mean? I mean, it's easy to throw words around like hope and joy and peace at Christmas. But what does it really mean for us to have peace? And why would we talk about that at Christmas? Well, I think it means a couple things. First, the peace that Jesus brings allows you to be at peace with others. Peace with others. Now, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but is anyone a little bit worried about the next few days and some people that you might be around? Anyone struggle with being at peace with other people? Often when there's no peace in us, we struggle with peace with others. And even if we have peace, we still struggle. Jesus talked about this. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace." And then look what he says. "In the world, you'll have tribulation." The word tribulation, it just means trouble. Anybody agree that in the world you have trouble? Yeah, it's kind of full of trouble, right? In the world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble with the people you live with. You're going to have trouble with your parents. You're going to have trouble at work. You're just going to have trouble, Jesus said. "But take courage, because I have overcome the world." Jesus has come so that we can be at peace with other people. You see, through Jesus, we can have relationships mended. Relationships with our mom, our dad, our husband, our wife, our kids, people at work, the people that we live with, our roommates, those folks, we can have relationships that are mended. Many of us this time of year are just upset and in turmoil over relationships. But Jesus came so we can have peace with others, can have relationships that are mended, that people could be reunited, that the goodwill could be extended. So let me just ask you, who is there in your life right now that you're just not at peace with? Whether they know it or not. Have you noticed that sometimes we can have some of the people that we have the greatest problems with don't even realize or care that we got an issue? Who is there in your life right now that you struggle, that you just are struggling to be at peace with? Is it a friend, a family member? Listen, Jesus came so you could have peace. He came to bring you peace and so that you could be at peace with others. What would it mean to you if this Christmas you could be at peace with others? That's why Jesus came. But not just so we could be at peace with others. But if we take it up another notch, Jesus came also so we could be at peace with ourselves. Now this is probably a greater struggle for many of us. Fact is, Christmas is such a time of year that we talk about how great it is and how fun it is and how festive it is. And every Hallmark show you watch, this person meets this person and they live happily ever after and everything looks good. And there's the kiss with the snow. And I mean the whole thing, right? And sometimes you look at all that and you look at people at church and you go, will I ever have this? The fact is, there's a lot of people this time of year that this is not their favorite time of year. There are folks in our crowd today that are doing all they can just to get through the next couple of days. Maybe there's been a loss of a loved one. Maybe there's been a financial crisis and you don't know what you're going to do. Maybe you've got news of something medically. Maybe no one even knows. Maybe it's the last Christmas for you or someone else. And you're struggling. Maybe you feel lonely. Listen, Jesus came so you can be at peace with others, but he also came so that you can be at peace with yourself. This is what all of us are looking for. This is why we're searching. We search everywhere to find this peace. And Jesus promised, and look what he said in John 14:27. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, Jesus said. My peace. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Let me ask you a question today. What does Jesus' peace look like? How much peace do you think there is in Jesus if he gives you his peace? Oh my goodness. He wants to give you his peace today. And then look what he says about it. He says it's not peace like the world has. It's not peace like all the other peace. It's not peace like every other time you've looked for it and it lasted for a day or a week or even a year. And then it went away. The job was so great and then it blew up. The relationship was awesome. It was what you thought. And then it exploded. The marriage. I mean, it's not that kind of peace. He's clear to tell us that it's peace not like the world gives. Because listen. Jesus is the source of our peace. And maybe if you're here today and you've not yet come into a relationship with God through Jesus, maybe you've been looking for peace in a lot of other places and just coming up empty. Or maybe you're here and you are in a relationship with Jesus, but you have forgotten that Jesus is that source of peace. It's not found in anyone else or anything else. It's found only in him. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, let the peace of Christ rule or surround or govern your hearts. And then Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, for the mind that is set on the flesh or physical things is death. But the mind that is set on the spirit is life and peace. And then you may know this passage, but when you have the Holy Spirit in you and you allow him to control you, he produces fruit in you. And in Galatians 5:22 reminds us the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. Maybe you've been looking in all the wrong places. Maybe this is why you keep coming empty with the idea of peace. You know, you can look in people and relationships and family and your spouse and friends. And you know, you try to find peace in a relationship. You try to find it in a marriage. You try to find it in a person. And as good as that person is, guess what? They disappoint us. They let us down. And then all of a sudden our peace is gone. And we're like, I thought it was going to be in this relationship. I thought it was going to be in this person. I thought I would find it in my dad. And he's disappointed me. Listen, if you're looking for peace in people, you're going to come up empty, at least sometimes. Maybe you're looking for peace in your success. And you thought, if I can just get this degree, or if I can just have a certain reputation in the community, or if I can just get this promotion, or get this job, or buy this company. Listen, success is awesome, but the peace that is found in success is fleeting. And many of us look for our peace in things Things are great, right? Houses, cars, electronics, stuff is great. But it doesn't produce lasting peace. You see, peace is just found in Jesus. Jesus is the source. He's the source of our peace. And listen, I want to remind you that the peace that Jesus gives is real. It's genuine. It's different. I know you've experienced some things in relationships and stuff and success and all that where you've kind of felt peaceful for a little while. Listen, the peace that Jesus gives is real. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing." Are you kidding me? We're anxious for everything. "Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Now watch this. Look at the promise. "And the peace of God." Now how big is that? Wow. "The peace of God, which surpasses all your comprehension." It's bigger and better than you could ever imagine. "Will guard," and the word guard means totally fill, totally surround your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's what real peace looks like. That's what Jesus came to bring to us. Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians 3, "Now may the Lord of peace himself grant you peace in every circumstance." That's what God wants for you as a Christian. That's what he wants for you. And if you've never come into a relationship with God through Jesus, that's why you would want to do it. And listen, I want to remind you that the peace that Jesus gives is not absence of trouble. You may still have trouble. Remember, Jesus said in this life you're going to have tribulation or trouble. The peace that Jesus gives isn't the absence of trouble. It's the confidence that he's there with you in it. I love this quote. It's by an unknown author, but it says, "It's not the absence or presence of problems that determines one's peace of mind. It's the absence or presence of God." When you and I have God, Jesus, in our life, guess what? We can experience peace. In the early 1500s, a guy named Nicholas Ridley was about to be burned at the stake for his faith. Now, we can't even imagine that as Christians, but people all over the world are suffering like that. Even today, there are many brothers and sisters who are in prison and will spend Christmas in prison apart from their family just because of their faith in Jesus. And we need to pray for them. But Nicholas Ridley, before he was going to be killed the very next day, on that night, his brother came to the prison cell and asked if he could stay with him. Is there anything he could do to comfort him? And Nicholas politely declined the offer. He said, "Brother, I don't need you to stay with me. I'm going to go to bed and I'm going to sleep as quietly and peacefully as I've done every other day of my life." Why? Because he knew the peace of God. The peace that passes all understanding. And that's a strength and a peace that we can have as well. Listen, God does not always calm the storm in our lives, but he does calm the sailor. He changes things from the inside out and allows us to be at peace with others and peace with ourselves. And some of you today are like, "I would do anything to be at peace with myself." Well, listen, you can. You can be at peace with others. You can be at peace with yourself. But it comes from the third and most important one. Jesus came so we can be at peace with God. Peace with God. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 describes it. Listen to what it says. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have," look at the words, "peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, Jesus was the peace offering. He ended the great war between man and God. If you may not know this, but before you know Jesus, the Bible describes us outside of Jesus as enemies of God. We were at war with God, and mankind for centuries was. But Jesus came to earth and was born and died so that we could be at peace with God. And you may sometimes feel like you're at war with God, but listen, Jesus is the peacemaker who can bring you into a relationship with God and bring peace. And all this began with a baby in a manger that very first Christmas. But never forget, what began with a baby in a manger ended on a cross when Jesus gave his life so we could be in a relationship. Listen, the greatest gift you could get or give this Christmas would be to come into a relationship with God through Jesus, to have asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior. The candle of hope, candle of joy, the candle of peace. And then the fourth candle is the candle of love. Doesn't want to light. Let's see if it does. There it is. The candle of love. And the candle of love just reminds me today how much God loves me. How much he loves you. Fact is, the author John in 1 John would write what great love God would lavish on us that we would be called the children of God. And boys and girls, you may know this verse. If you know any, you'll probably know this one that says, "For God so what? Loved the world, loved me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." God loves us so much that God saw us. And listen, we are sinners. We're sinners because when Adam and Eve, back when God created the world, sinned, they passed down through the bloodstream this thing called a sin nature. I don't have a lot of time today to explain it, but just like a dog knows how to bark, we know how to sin. No one has to teach us how. And we sin, we continue to sin, and sin is anything that goes against God's law, and we separate ourselves from God. And the Bible tells us that all of us are sinners, that all of us fall short of God's glory. But what's worse is the news that he gives us in Romans 6:23, and he tells us what the price or penalty. He says the wages of our sin is death. And that word death doesn't mean just dying here. It means eternity, forever apart from God, in a place that was never made for you and I, a place called hell, made for the demons that rebelled against God. And that's where we would have to spend forever. But God loved us. For God so loved Tim. God so loved you. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. That's what we're celebrating. The God allowed Jesus to come to earth and be born as we celebrate tomorrow and live a perfect life. And then he would die on a cross, that they would whip him and put a crown of thorns on him, that they would nail him to a cross, that Jesus would suffer and bleed and die. And God would take all of your sin, every lie, every bit of immorality, everything we've done that's wrong, and he would put it on Jesus, and Jesus would pay for it. And then he would rise again. And then all you and I have to do is admit that we're sinners. That's not hard to do. And believe that Jesus, God's Son, came to earth and died and rose again. And then, listen, invite him to come into our lives and forgive us of our sins. If you've never done that, you know you can do it right where you are. There's no certain prayer to pray. But in your own words, you would just say to God, "God, I know I've sinned." That's easy. "And I believe in you, Jesus. I believe you're God's Son that we're celebrating at Christmas. I believe you came to earth and you lived and you died on a cross and you rose again. I don't understand that, but I believe it." And then here's the important part. "And Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. I need you. I'm tired of living my life like I am. I want you to change me. Come into my life." And you can pray that prayer right where you are. You can say those words under your breath to God right now. And he'll change you. And maybe you're here today and you are a Christ follower, but you just haven't been living your life for him. And as you look back over this year, you realize you need to kind of start things over too. And you can do it today. Jesus came to bring hope, joy, and peace, and love. And all this is found in the Christ candle, in Jesus and him alone. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 says, "For it was the Father's good pleasure for the fullness of God to dwell in him and through him to reconcile all things to himself." Jesus, having made peace through the blood of his cross. You see, Jesus brings all of these things, hope and joy and peace and love. He's the one who alone points the way to God. He would tell us with his own lips that Jesus would say, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one can come to God unless he would come through me. It's only through him." So, church, that's why the angels would say to Mary, "She will give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." On the way in, we gave you a paper, and inside it was a card that looks like that. Would you get it out for just a minute? Just kind of hold it in your hand. Even if you don't tend to do anything with it, just hold on to it. You can look at it. Eric referenced this a few minutes ago, but this is a card that that we gave you to help us know a little bit more about you. This would be a great time to use it. And if today you're responding by coming into a relationship with Jesus, if you want to invite Jesus, if you've prayed to invite Jesus in, or you have questions or concerns and want to know how, or maybe you're here and you are a Christ follower, but you haven't been following very closely, and you want to make a commitment this Christmas to Jesus, or you just want some help. Maybe you have a prayer request. Maybe you'd like me or one of our pastors to follow back up with you and pray with you or help you in some way. You can record all this on this card. You can put your name and you can mark those comments or your prayer requests. And then during the song that's about to take place, you can take some time to reflect. You don't have to be in a hurry. And about 3 or 4 minutes or so in, the ushers are going to come and you can simply drop this card in. Of course, if you're a first-time guest, as Eric told you, you can trade it for a gift in the back, but you can just drop it in the offering basket. And we're going to pray for you and ask God to help you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and what it means to us. Thank you for my friends that are here. Thank you for brothers and sisters that we celebrate today, the birth of Jesus that would change the world. Thank you for the gift you are, God, that you would come to earth so that we could know you and be in a relationship with you. And thank you for friends that are here that have never really understood before. Some of them have never heard, and some of them have never understood before how they are a sinner, but that Jesus loves them and came to earth to save them. And right now, they just feel like their heart's exploding. Will you please help them to pray and invite you into their life, to fill out the card, to drop it in so we can follow up and help them as well. Bless us. We take this Lord's Supper, this communion time. We give this time to you. Thank you for coming and being everything these candles represent. In Jesus' name I pray.